during the pandemic, where a lot of stuff has been closed, the Lord is working through his body even more. I mean, not, I mean, for someone like me, he's maybe fairly technical. I know how to use a microphone, I know how to use a mobile, and so on. And I know how to use Zoom, because we've kind of had to do that. But more important than that, the Lord has, I believe with all my heart, he's poured out the spirit of prayer and supplication on the body, so that we would be a praying people who pray by faith. Because it's not sufficient just to pray words, but to pray believing that our God hears. And doesn't it say that in Mark 11, verse 22 and 23, have faith in God. You can speak to every mountain by faith, believing. You don't just speak because you think you ought to. You believe that God is God.
Yes.
And God is faithful. And God is able. God is mighty. God is powerful. And I know there are circumstances that can come against that. But in the midst of it, you know, the Lord says, just keep lifting your eyes. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And he pours out grace for every situation. So expect whatever things you are being challenged with, whatever things you have been challenged with, and I know there have been many that have been in my life too. But in all of it, I continue to confess, I will praise the Lord. I will exalt his name. I will believe that he is true to his word. He's faithful. He's a covenant keeper. And everything he does is for our eternal blessing. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, we just go to sharing a word at this stage, and then we come back later and some worship. Yeah? Thank you, guys. It's been amazing. Amazing to be here with you. A couple of things that have happened, well, even today when I woke up. All of you who are school age, you kind of realize we're into a new season. You're back into the autumn season, you're back at school, you're back in college, university, whatever it is. And what is the season all about? God is bringing us into a season where he shows his faithfulness to us. Where we live now, we used to live down there in Oxted, we live now in Sussex in a little village called Rusper. And as we open our windows, we are surrounded by a small little garden, but huge fields to the front, to the side, and behind us is a cat paddock with a whole load of horses. And as I opened the window this morning, I saw the beautiful sunshine, and you see the fields. They truly are ripe unto harvest. It seems to happen almost suddenly, because we were in Scotland visiting our family a couple of weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. And you know, things seem to have grown at least 3 feet since we were away, and it's ready. And I was reminded of this wonderful scripture in John. It's opened with John 4:23, but I'm in chapter 4, and it says this in verse 35. Well, let's go to verse 34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." I was at a, Connie's going to share in a few minutes, because Pastor Brian has asked us, I think last time we were here, we were talking about our ministry work. As you know, we carry nations at heart. I love coming to church where you've got flags all over, of European nations, of African nations, of Asian nations, because God is God who, doesn't it say that in Psalm 46, verse 10? Wait on the Lord. It's a script I'm using so often these days. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We sang about God being with us. He is our refuge. But he is the Lord exalted among all the nations and every one of the continents. And that's very much something we have on our heart. We pray for nations, we work for nations, and as you probably know, that Brian has been a trustee on our charity, which is Warriors of Praise, and we basically plant churches and schools in third world countries. So we'll be sharing a little bit about that. But I really believe this is the time of the harvest, and I was at this ordination service last Saturday, not yesterday, but Saturday before, and it was another Baptist church in Edenbridge, not so far from here, where they were ordaining a new family, a new minister, who was a young pastor, coming in to take over the church. A young man, lovely young man, with his wife and his four young children. And I so enjoyed the service because it was a bit like a wedding ceremony with lots of confessions and lots of proclamations. But I came up feeling so rich in God's word because it was all so word-based, and it really so encouraged me to see that in the Baptist Church everything is based on reliance and trusting in the Holy Spirit. And that the Lord is the one who chooses. John 15:16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I've appointed you to go out and bear fruit that shall remain." So that's our God. He chooses us. But the thing that really touched my heart about that ordination service, and I'm only going to do this very briefly, is that everything about it was about teamwork, working together. You see, it wasn't just about you choose a leader and he's the worker and, you know, we pay him a salary and, you know, he prays for us and all the rest. It was so much about the body together, working together. And really, the pastor's role was to feed, to encourage, to edify, build you up. But we were the ones, we are the ones who are his workers, co-workers with Christ. Every one of you here and myself, and Connie, and everyone in the worship team, we are all called to be his light in the darkest place. And in the midst of this testing time of the pandemic, how important it is for us to show the world outside that there is hope for the future. You know, Jeremiah 29:11 says, he's a God who wants to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us a hope for the future.
Amen.
And that's what we carry in this place. Mm. But we are a team working together with our pastors, with our co-leaders, with those ones who have maybe a special anointing. But being a willing worker and saying before God, no matter what's going on around, I want to serve you. Now, every morning, we need to get up and say, God, I know I've got a job to do. I know I've got school to go to. I know what this, that, and the other. You know, we have schedule of things we are meant to do each day. But God, what is your plan for me today? In the midst of everything else you're doing, God has a plan to bring his light into somebody's darker place. It may be a very dark place, it may be just a shadow, but God has a plan for each one of us. And I will just encourage you, and as I encourage myself, every morning, as you do your teeth and get yourself ready for the day, whether it's school, college, university, work, retirement, whatever it may be, ask God, what is your plan for me today? And I tell you, he will reveal. And he will go ahead of it. Says that in Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, that God is a God who goes ahead of us. He goes beside us. He goes behind us. He is always with us. And he will make a way for something extraordinary to happen in your life. It may be a coffee morning or whatever, but somehow it may be a smile, it may be a word, it may be a picture God gives you, but he will do it in order to use you to bless somebody who needs a blessing, who needs just to know that there is a God who loves them. So you know, it's a very, very important time for us to be available to God in the midst of a world that is trying to silence the church. I don't know if you noticed that, but we are almost being silenced, being stopped from expressing. You know, it seems like they talk about freedom of speech and freedom of expression as long as you do what they tell you to do. As soon as we come, and we're not giving bad news, we're just speaking the truth of what the Lord and God says. We're not looking for fight with any individual with flesh and blood, but we have to understand that the battle is a spiritual battle.
Yes.
And we have authority and we have weapons to pull down strongholds in spirit. So that's why I believe God is pouring out that spirit of prayer and supplication at this time, for us to be praying, for us to be so strong in the spirit that we hear the voice of the Lord so clearly as to what we should do at any individual time. But, you know, as Isaiah 62 says, be ye not silent. Do not come under that controlling spirit that tries to stop you from speaking the truth, whether it's speaking the truth over yourself or sharing with somebody else. But whatever you do, do it in love. You know, that's the Corinthians talks about all the time. You know, spirit of faith is great, but without love, we are just a resounding, clanging cymbal. We want the love of God, we want His faith, and we want to do everything to edify not only us as a body, but edify those outside so they're encouraged by what they hear. So it really is, it's a time of the harvest. In the Jewish calendar, you know, as guys, we work in Israel as well. Jewish calendar, this last week was Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the new year, the Jewish new year. And this week coming, it's a whole month of feasts in Israel, but this week coming, it's the Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur, and then it comes into the Feast of Tabernacles. But this year, in the Jewish calendar, because we are in 2021, yes, we're still in 2021. I kind of lost it in the last 18 months of June. But in the Jewish calendar, it's the year 5782. And because they go back to the day, time of creation, and it's up to now, the calculation. And the new year, 5782, is the year of awakening. So even in Israel, we're praying, God, awaken the Jewish people, that they would know their Messiah. But I believe He's awakening us in the body of Christ, and He's awakening us in the church to be His ambassadors, to Corinthians 5 tells us about that, to be His workers, and to look, I mean, God's burden, I mean, I opened that scripture earlier from Matthew 11, wasn't it? That His burden is easy, His yoke is easy, His burden is light, so He's not going to put a heavy load on us. But if we're just willing to just carry a word, carry a smile, carry whatever it is He wants us to carry to others, we will see a harvest of souls coming to the church. We want to see this church full again. There's a lot of things happening around this church, building-wise and so on, which needs a lot of prayer. We're probably not going to pray exactly. But I really believe God is saying, get yourself ready, be prepared, make yourself available, and just see what I will do for next year. We had Connie and I run a small group as part of our church. It's quite a big small group because when we're all together, we get 30 people. It's like a mini church within the church. But we're praying for the nations, and we're praying for the Middle East, for Afghanistan, for South Africa, things that are going on around the world, Israel. And one of our ladies had a vision, and with this, I'm going to share this vision, and then I'm going to ask Connie to come and talk about the work we're doing in Africa. God's put on Connie's heart talking about the visions, because I believe this is what God is going to do. He's going to enlighten your visions, your dreams, the things God spoke to you maybe 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. He's going to bring a fire. What this lady saw, she's a lovely woman of God, a real intercessor. She saw, I mean, it's the Olympics. She saw like the huge Olympic fire. It wasn't the Olympic fire, but like it. But this was a heavenly fire. And she saw Connie and I going in to the fire with a torch in our hands and putting it in the fire, and this fire being lit. And both of us going and touching other people with the fire. And as they were being touched, they too were receiving torches to carry on taking it further and further. And I believe that's what God said today. I'm going to fire you up again. I'm going to light that fire that maybe has been a little bit dull because of the circumstances we've been living in. But God is the God who is above our circumstances. So I'm going to ask Connie to come share. And she will talk about, particularly about the work in Uganda, because it's something Brian really has carried in, Pastor Brian, has been carrying in his heart for the last 10 years probably. We've been associated working together. So can you come and share what God put on your heart about visions and also about the work?
Hello everyone. See you all again. You're looking great. Especially these young ladies, my goodness. Well, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Africa again, which I know I've done before, but that's because Pastor Brian has asked me to. And I think he has something in his mind for this church. So I'm going to sort of kind of stir up something a little bit and just believe that it is something God wants to do in your hearts, and let's see what happens. So, but before I do that, before I tell you a little bit about the work in Africa, some of you have already heard this, but many years ago, 32 years ago I think, Alistair and I were in Bible school in Sweden, and we were all seated. We were given special places to sit. We were not allowed to sit where we liked. So he and I ended up in the front row, right underneath the preacher every time, which was that you couldn't, you know, chat or be naughty. Anyway, between us, there was a guy from Uganda, and he has been here and spoken before. His name is Steve, and some of you will remember him. Remember Steve? Steve Massisi, who became a great friend of ours, and he and Alistair shared a lot about the things that God had been speaking to them, and things that we believed for the future. And we never dreamed for 1 minute that we would work together. But God arranged it in such a way that we did actually meet up again after probably almost a year, when we thought Steve was, you know, safely back in Africa, and he wasn't, because he sent all his stuff back to Africa, and then the Lord spoke to him after he, you know, he sent a great trunk. He even put his Bible in the trunk. And when everything was sent, the Lord said to him, "Now I want you to go to England." So I'm like, oh, well. You know, he, first of all, it's like for him, it was like, well, where is England? You know, because he'd been to Uganda and he'd been to Sweden, and that was all he knew. So he had to go to the travel agents and find out, you know, what it would cost to go to England. And he had no address because all the addresses of all the students were in that trunk. He had no Bible. He had nothing with him except, you know, himself and his last suitcase that he was about to travel home to Africa with. Anyway, he changed his ticket, managed to get a ticket for England, and he travelled to England without knowing where we were. He didn't know our telephone number or anything, and it took him almost a year to find us. And God took amazing care of him. I can't tell you the whole story because it would take forever, but the first person he bumped into in the airport was another guy that had been at school in Uganda. And he took him to his home and he lived with him. And all that time they spent trying to find us. And then, I can't remember how it happened actually, it doesn't really matter because God did it. And suddenly we got a telephone call one day and there was Steve on the phone and he said, "Oh, are you back in Africa?" And he said, "No, I'm in London. Where do you live?" So Alistair had to go and get him, and he came back and he lived with us for 4 years. And during that 4 years, God did an awful lot, because in Africa, where he came from, in Uganda, he had already started a small church, and he had got various people in his congregation who had got land in parts of Uganda which had not been returned to since the days of Idi Amin, when there were some very nasty things that happened, some real bad atrocities. And so we were, as a we were a small congregation in our home, and we encouraged all the children in the Sunday school and everybody to believe God to buy a brick. And we arranged with Steve that we would give him whatever money we collected between us, and we would start to buy bricks. And with these bricks, he was going to get his people over there to start building the church. And that's what happened. And there is now a nice big church standing where we all gather together to build the bricks. And beside it is a school, which we also built. And it has about 400 children in it. And these children are, some of them are orphans, some of them are very, very poor people from communities that can't afford to pay for school at all. So they come and they bring what they can. If they have nothing, they come with nothing. And if they have a little, they bring a little. Some of them bring fruit baskets with, you know, pears or apples or whatever it is they've been growing on their land to help pay for their school fees. And over the years, God has invested in that school through us taking people out to see it and other churches getting involved to give into it and to start to help us to pay for teachers to come and teach the children. And so now we have many children who have been very well educated there. But as you can imagine, during the pandemic, in Uganda, we were there the day before Britain went into lockdown. We were coming home on that very day, and we walked into the airport at Heathrow, and there was not a soul, nobody checking passports, nothing. We just walked straight in and went straight home. And the following day, everything in Britain was locked down. At the same time in Uganda also was locked down. So the school had to close, the children didn't go to school, and it's taken all this time to really open things up again so that the kids can start to come back. Now many of them lived in villages that were miles away from the school, and their parents had sent them out when they wanted to start school to walk all that way. And some of these kids arrived, you know, having walked 4 days, they were exhausted. And so now they've got to do it all again to come back to school. And the teachers that we had, many of them have been sick, some of them have died, some of them don't want to come back into school work again, so we have to start all over again with the school. And the easiest way for us to do that is to really ask people to help us to sponsor a child, perhaps for a meal, or, you know, whatever you can afford to do. And I know that Brian, who's been to the school and has seen it many times and has helped enormously with the churches that he's been involved with to help them put in doors and windows and a new roof, and it actually looks like a school now. It doesn't look like a pile of bricks like it did when we first started. And he's very keen that we don't lose touch with this school, that we don't let it fall apart. And I think that's an opportunity that God is really saying, come on folk, I need some help. We need to get this school up and starting again. And the 400 children who depend on it for their education. They also depend upon it for their food, they depend upon it for their home, and it's a very important place. So I just want to look at a few scriptures to see, because I think in the days that we live in, we know that you can go to some big churches and say, what's the vision of this church? And they'll be able to tell you, oh, our vision is to do this, to do that. And it's good that we have that vision, because the Bible says without a vision, the people perish. But visions can change, but God's vision never changes, does it? God sent Jesus for one reason, and that is to bring salvation to the whole of mankind, for those that would believe in him. And of course, he doesn't just leave it at that. He wants the best for people. He wants the very best in their lives. He wants to provide them with what they don't have, and to increase their productivity, if you like, in life, to increase their standing. But the visions that churches have are sometimes very narrow, because they are a bit of the whole vision. And there's nothing wrong with that. But these days, a vision for a church can simply be, God has opened a door, he's asking you, would you like to help? And the answer is either yes or no. It's as simple as that. And that can start a new vision. And I can see that you have a real heart for the nations. And God is not after one nation. He's after all the nations of the world, isn't he? So I just want to open a few scriptures to you to have a look at this and see if you agree that this is what God might be saying. And I'll start with Habakkuk. For those of you who know where it is, if you don't know, don't worry. because I was born in town. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, write the vision. Write the vision. Make it plain upon tablets, that he may learn who reads it. In other words, anybody who reads that vision can say, yeah, I understand that, and I want to be part of it. And it doesn't matter whether you're this big or that big or this big. There may be something in the vision that is something that you could be excited about. And God wants it to be like that. And then in Proverbs 29 in the King James Version, it does say, where there's no vision, the people perish. So if we don't have a vision at all for anything, then we perish as the church, because the church is not making anything happen. And the church is supposed to make things happen, isn't it? We're supposed to be the ambassadors of the Lord on this earth to bring good news to people so that their lives change. Now that is not just about, you know, Merston, but it's about all the places in the earth. And we don't know where God can open doors for churches. He can open doors anywhere. Doesn't mean to say you've got to go there necessarily. Doesn't mean to say you've got to, you know, give everything you've got. It just means let's get interested and see if there's something that we can do. Maybe we could have a coffee morning. Maybe the children could do something to start writing to the kids or write them a letter. You know, let's do something to connect and see how it opens up the way for more to be done. For these children to feel that there's somebody in another country that cares about the fact that their school has been closed down and they never open unless somebody helps. And then you can tell your friends and they might want to say, well, I'd like to get involved in that. Let's see what we can do. We had a school in when we lived in Oxford, for example, when we first told them of what we were doing to help this school, and they said, okay, we've just changed all the school uniforms and we've got all the old uniforms, we've collected them all together, we've washed and ironed them, and even had the whole lot of the school. And there we were able to go out and take all the school uniforms. Isn't that amazing? And then we had another situation where lots of the children didn't have any shoes. They'd never worn shoes before. And so when we showed little bits of film of the children, people felt, well, you know, these kids deserve to have at least flip-flops. So we went to Tesco's and we asked them, how many flip-flops could you give us if we buy a whole load of them? And they said, well, you can have as many as you like. And they just literally handed us boxes and boxes of flip-flops. And the good thing about flip-flops is that they can be worn when your feet are growing, aren't they? Mm-hmm. So you don't have to have your feet squashed into a shoe that's really too small for you. And African kids love Western shoes. But they won't take them off. If their feet are growing, they'll still wear them, you know, when they're not supposed to. So we decided on flip-flops. So lots of little things like that can happen. And both in Matthew chapter 28 and Mark chapter 16, I'm sure you know these scriptures really well, God gave the disciples to his 11 disciples after he was resurrected. So he's now walking about in his resurrected body, not looking quite the same as he did when he was upon the earth, which is why people sometimes were not sure if it was him or not, because he was in a resurrected body. He was in a heavenly body. And it says in verse 14, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubbornness and their unbelief, because they refused to believe those who had seen him and said he had been raised from the dead. And then he said to them all, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. And as you know, it goes on from there. But that was his command to his disciples. Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Now, I'm a disciple. I'm sure you're a disciple. Am I supposed to go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone? Do I have enough money for all those airfares and all the rest of it? Would I be allowed on the airplane even in half those those countries? The answer is no. And this is where the big vision becomes the small vision, to take a part of what God is saying, to find the place that God wants us to be involved in, which might not be in our own country. It will be taken for granted that we will work in our own country. We'll work in the streets around our own homes. We'll work in our neighborhoods. We'll work to bless our neighbors and our friends and our relatives. But what about the other countries? There are many nations that have nothing, that know nothing. They have no Bibles. They don't yet know who Jesus is. But those of us that do, could we go a bit further than just this country? Could we go in our hearts, could we go a little further into another nation and see if there's something God will help us do which would bless that school, for example, in Africa? And then if we look in Matthew, where the Great Commission is written there, in chapter 28, it says, it's the same story, but told a slightly different way. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came, and he told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. In other words, he is all authority. He has all authority in heaven, all authority upon the earth. So if he tells me to do something, he's in authority over me, therefore I should consider it, and I can either say yes or no, because I can be obedient or disobedient. Now, God doesn't come along and say, I want you to do this, and don't you dare say no to me. He doesn't do that. He says, look, here's an opportunity. Let's see what an opportunity means. What might it mean for you? Would you pray for these kids? Would you pray for the teachers? Would you think of little ways that you might be able to help in some way? And you'd be surprised what will happen. People will start having dreams and visions and all kinds of ideas. And before you know it, you might find that, you know, there's a little team that says, right, next time she goes over to Africa, I'm going as well, because I want to see for myself what's going on there. And we've taken groups out many times, haven't we? And it's really exciting to do that. And then we can build a brick, maybe, or buy a paintbrush, or, you know, we don't have to literally buy it here, but we can say, well, in Africa it actually costs less to buy a paintbrush than it does here, so we can save up for 10 paintbrushes. And we can send money over, and they can start painting the place and getting it up to scratch again for the children to come back. All sorts of things can happen. So there are two scriptures where God talks about, well, there are more, but I picked up two, where God talks about opportunities. Al, can you find me 1 Corinthians 16:9 for me? You did. God talks about open doors, doesn't he? How many times have you heard that? So when God talks about open doors, he's talking about opportunities, isn't he? He's saying, look, I'm opening a door for you. Do you want to go through it and find out what's on the other side of it? Do you want to take part in something that I've thought would be suitable for you? And if the answer is yes, then we should agree together and say, yes, Lord, I'd like to go with that. Let's see what happens. And we don't know what's going to happen. And frankly, we live in days these days where God's not going to tell us much about what's going to happen, because if we'd all be too depressed, I think. But, you know, he is doing good things around the earth, and we want to keep our eyes fixed on those good things. So when he opens the door and we go through, we can expect good things to come. Because what does God's word lead to if we obey it? It leads to fruit in our lives. And God wants fruit to our account. He wants fruit to the account of the church, doesn't he? He wants to be able to say, well done, good and faithful servants of Mercer and Baptist Church. you have this much fruit accounted to you in the kingdom. Other children know Jesus now because of building one brick or having a coffee morning or something. You can't imagine what God does because he is so much more able to do things than we are. And it also says in the Bible, in Revelation 3:7, when he opens a door, no man can shut it. And when he shuts a door, no man can open it. So if he opens a door of opportunity to you as a church, and I think Pastor Brian's going to say that he has done, and we'll see, because he asked us to talk about this, he's not going to shut the door. So therefore, you've got to really get together and start praying and finding out, what is God saying to us about this school? What does he want us to do? And that's the exciting part, because I don't know the answer to that, and neither do you. But he does. So these days that we live in are difficult days. They are changing all the time. And nobody really knows what is going to happen tomorrow, except the Lord himself. Travel to different countries might get more and more difficult, and we might not be able to go to all the places that missionaries have been to before in the past. But what the wonderful thing is, after all those people came back from Afghanistan, the church didn't. The underground church, which is the second largest growing church in the world, is in Afghanistan. Did you know that? And the church is still there. And they're prepared to give their lives in order to see the church grow. It's wonderful, isn't it? And we can tell you a story. We had a little group of people from Tajikistan, which is on the borders of Afghanistan, that came to our congregation some years ago. And it was a church that a missionary was working with. And we've discovered since that route from Afghanistan to Tajikistan still open, and that the churches are beginning to send food across, that the children are being fed from one church to another, because nobody's thought of closing that door. Because when God opens a door, no man can shut it. Isn't that amazing? So what can God do? He is absolutely without boundaries, isn't he? He can do anything that he wants to do. The enemy's on the rampage and he wants to stop the work of God. And he would love to close that school and say, none of these children can be educated, none of these children are going to know Jesus. And we could sit back and say, well, what can we do? Well, the answer is, because we can do something, we must do something. So when God presents us with an opportunity for this school in Lumpere, near Gomero, we want to take it into our hearts. That's where it starts. It starts by being dropped into our hearts by God and then thinking about it and maybe dreaming about it and mulling it around for a while and seeing what we come up with together and putting some ideas together. And then God will enable that to bear fruit for you, which will be accounted to this church. Isn't that amazing? Amen.
Yes, I'm just going to add a little bit on to the reason we are sharing this. Pastor Brian, you all know Pastor Brian so well. He had never desired going to Africa, never, never, never. And I think sometimes he probably stands before God and goes, oh, why did you introduce Alistair and Connie to me? because he was quite happy in his ministry down in Southwick, where we first met him. And then he went on to Sheringham, as you probably know, just before he came here, and he spent 4 years. By then he was hooked, because not only did we take him over to Africa, we took him to the schools, and once he saw the schools of the young people, it really touched his heart. And as our ministry just continued, when we first went to Lumpere, which Connie was talking about, where the school and the church is, there was... We couldn't believe it, because we had started to send the money to build a church. Well, the church had the four walls and kind of holes in the wall for windows, but no roof. So we arrived there to see the school, and these kids were amazing. They waited hours because our journey was delayed, as always they are.
and they waited for us for hours. But there were two classrooms. One was the church building with no roof, and the other one was a tree with lots of leaves. And this is all they had. They had teachers who were teaching in a large group of them in the main building, and then another group that were in the leaves of the tree in the shade. But so over the years we just kept continuing to support that and grow it. And really it began with one block was built, then another block, and now it's a shame we haven't got to, we didn't think of doing some photographs which you could have shown on the screen, but we'll do that next time. Now it really is beautiful. The land around it has been cleared. The buildings, we've got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 buildings, I think, now. Toilet blocks, and over 400 kids who get educated. Now, because our ministry was moving on, and we're working far more in the last 5 or 6 years in the slum areas of Kampala, where there are like 50,000 families with no food, no work, being exploited, and so on. When Pastor Brian moved to the church down in Sheringham, he actually asked us to open the new building that they had and share a little bit about the work in Uganda. And as a result, that church, which was a large church, there were about 300 people in the church, really took on the whole, they adopted the work. There were 2 or 3 businessmen, part of the church, who were very wealthy and so on. And they set up a whole charity to look after the work there, which enabled us to really focus in on the work that was such in our heart to move into in Kampala, the homeless, the slum area. But sadly, what's happened since Pastor Brian left there and came here, I think they've had another change of leadership there. And again, during this whole pandemic, the church has not been able to meet. They've been doing the same sort of stuff as you and I, and Kingdom Faith, been doing online meetings, which has affected, I guess it's affected, I don't know, but it's affected the income in the church. And it was a chance phone call I made about 3 or 4 months ago to people I know in Uganda, and I just asked how are things going on in the school down in Lumpere, because you know, I usually just talk about the ministry we're looking after. And it turned out that the church in Sheringham, about 6 to 8 months ago, suddenly stopped funding the school. So there was no finances for the teachers, kids were being fed and so on. And so Brian heard about this as well, and it really broke his heart, because he'd seen the work, he'd been kind of the main instigator into seeing it develop. And therefore he kind of said, we've got to do something. We can't just allow a school that we've put so much effort into building it up just to start, you know, because there are people in need. So that's why he's been stirred up and talking to us about how can we help as part of our charity ministry. And I think he just felt, let the church here know, and maybe in some way, certainly I know you'll pray for it. I know that'll be the number one step. Whether it goes any further than that, doesn't really matter. Because I do believe God will just talk to you as you're praying, like we said earlier, you know, when we ask him each day, what is your plan for me today? He will tell us the plans he has for us. So I'm sure when he comes back, he's going to talk more about what we can do to help, or can we do anything to help? We can certainly pray. So as we come to an end, let's do some worshiping. I guess we're going to take an offering, are we, at some point? I don't know how that works.
So,
yeah, that would probably make a lot of sense. So I think you get some details up on the screen as to people who you can give online, obviously into the church, or tithing, or whatever, however way you give to the church. But I think there is a something. Yeah, so let's worship, and then we'll finish in prayer, and release it.